Continuing, I don't know about you, but I've gone back and forth. In fact, even on the radio the other night, I went to it, and Kenny said, and I went to the word from Proverbs that we shared last week from the Message Bible with the words, three words, start with God. Start with God. I've said it over and over. I remember, though, growing up and many, many times, I saw it so much as a kid, and I always appreciated it, and I saw it, and it was great. And remember the little line that said, wise men still seek him. Anybody remember seeing that bumper sticker when you were kids? I don't see that anymore. And today, I want to talk to you and say it a little bit different. Wise men still seek him. That's how you know who the wise ones are. Today, this is a story on wisdom, and I want to emphasize the word still up there. Still, that's a continuing word there. You know, Charles Spurgeon one time, wisdom is the right use of knowledge, he said. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal, and all are greater fools for it. You got that? Now look at this line. I'm gonna pull this out by itself and use it one day. There is no fool so great as a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Nearing the end of his life, Spurgeon, they were talking to Spurgeon, and he was very, very frail at this point in his life. And someone asked Mr. Spurgeon, how are you doing? Someone was taking care of him, and he knew it was near the end. And this was his exact statement. He said, how are you? He said, I am tranquil and happy, though I'm very weak. My theology at this point is very simple. I can express it in few words, and they are enough to die by. He knew it was coming. And after a pause, he slowly said, Jesus died for me. Boy, how's that for an exit? How's that for an exit word right now? That is the perfect perspective of wisdom. A teacher many, many years ago, we've heard and we've used the definition for so many years. What is the real definition of wisdom? And I think this is one of the nicest ones that I think it fits who we are, and it fits the humanness of ourselves and the greatness of God right there. Somebody said, how do you define wisdom? Wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. Wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. That's wisdom right there. So today, here is where our story starts, and I'll use this word today, the story of wisdom. We're going to talk about the wise men. I'm going to answer the question, what did the wise men know, and when did they know it? That's been a question of the ages that we've learned. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born, now notice it was after he was born, in Bethlehem, you see Bethlehem there? Of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men, got wise men underlined in my scripture, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, and they were saying, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. You know, the response of your life will be based on what you see. What you see, how you're going to respond to that. By the way, you need to know when you're defining wise men right here, you have to understand these wise men had already been seeking something. These wise men already had their hearts tuned for something. They weren't quite sure what it was, but in their hearts, they had been looking. They were on tiptoes in their hearts of what was coming. And then when they saw what they had been preparing for, they were ready to move. You got it? There had been something inside of them. You know, and this is an encouragement to you right now. Maybe you've not seen the promise of God yet, but you just know. You know what he said. You know what you feel. You know what you've experienced. Remember, I said last week talking about what we have experienced, what we have heard. And so it says, and then when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, now that was his group of, quote, wise men. You got it? Those were his counselors. It gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. Okay. They said, in Bethlehem of Judea, For thus, let me stop right there. Notice this. Herod called on his learned religionist, his wise men counselors. Do you understand or do you see the parallel that the wise men and the counselors of Herod had been reading the same material that the wise men had been reading? I'm going to draw the contrast in a minute. They had studied the same prophecies in their past. They had studied the same words in their past, but there was a difference there. Their hearts were not tuned to the same station as the wise men were tuned to. Their hearts were not tuned to looking for a real Messiah. Thus, they felt threatened. Their reactions were different. Their reactions were different and hostile to the wise men who knew this, had the same material, but their hearts and their expectation and their faith was tuned to a higher level. So not the wise men, but the men that Herod called on said it in Bethlehem in Judea, because it has been written by the prophet, by the way, the prophet Micah in Micah 5. And they actually quoted Micah when it says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Stop. They read the same passage in Micah that the wise men had read, but their hearts were different and their reactions were not loving, wanting to bow, wanting to worship, wanting to submit. Their reactions, the scripture actually said, their reactions were hostile. You see parallels in our world today? I think so. In verse 7 says, "So then Herod, when he secretly called the wise men, and determined from them what time the star appeared." He's appearing to be your buddy. He's setting a trap. He's trying to reel them in. He's getting all the... "Now, when did you see this star, guys?" In verse 8, "And he sent them to Bethlehem." And here's what he said. "Go and search carefully." I think King James language was "diligently." "Go search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." Wow. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. This is why you need, you know, I've spent weeks talking about the concept of discernment. And your level more and more today, when you're talking about love, you're talking about brotherhood, you're talking about why can't we all get along. We're reading those things together. We're using things that the real powers that be don't mind you using, because you're walking right into a trap. You're not understanding, because it is a backward thing. You can't do something and expect this to happen. It has to be an inward thing, a change first. And out of that changed person comes the love, comes the unity, comes the concept of brotherhood, because we read the same material and our hearts want to bow. Our hearts want to worship. We didn't read the same material and become hostile. We want to run. We want to see him. I think that's quite a revelation there. Go find him and let me know. I'd like to worship him. We live in a time now, hey man, they love Jesus too. They're saying the same things. Pay attention. Pay attention in the long-term wisdom of Foghorn Leghorn. Pay attention, son. Listen to what's going on right now. And at this point, the wise men needed wisdom. They had the information, they had the history, but they needed the wisdom. And at this point in our lives, so do we. Since the beginning of time, the word of deception has come to people who had at the beginning a well-meaning motive or a well-meaning heart. A few minutes ago, I said our story starts here today. But really now, our story starts here. In the beginning, when you're talking about the quest for wisdom, because that has always been man's quest. You see it in chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis. "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' He's asking something that he's setting it up, okay? And by the way, in a long-term conversation with evil and people of bad motives, the idea is not for information. It is to break you down and to drop your discernment armor. Did God say this? She said, of course. We can eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God told us, she said, you must not eat. You must not even touch it. By the way, don't even fool with those things. You must not touch it. If you do, you will die. Now watch this. That was a definitive command from God. And here's what happened. Come on. We're enlightened now. You won't die, he replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes, this is why, he knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. And you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. What he's actually saying in implication here, God doesn't want you wise. He doesn't want you wise. He wants you dumb and dependent on him. God doesn't want to see you blessed. And the irony of that story in the third chapter of Genesis, the irony of that is that he's not changed his technique. The irony is the deception is the same right now. Golly, God doesn't want you to laugh. God doesn't want you to be blessed. God doesn't want you to have to be fun. God doesn't want you to be loved. God doesn't want them. So here we are in verse 6. Now, it goes right to verse 6, but I'm really strong. You've heard me say this many times before. I don't think it happened as fast as the space between verse 5 and verse 6. I think it was an ongoing dialogue. That's just an opinion, okay? But I honestly think, because at first, here she is loving God. Certainly she's not gonna, look, I'm with God, but a repetition of visiting and talking and getting close and touching things that we're not supposed to touch. What it does, it breaks us down after a while, and we wanna be liked, we wanna be cool, we wanna fit in. So finally it says in verse 6, the woman was convinced. By the way, you can convince yourself of most anything if your mind is already made up. You can convince yourself of almost anything if your mind is already made up. You can do that. You can do that. How many, I mean, you see things, you hear things. What was that? No, it's nothing, right? But you hear it. It was there if your mind is made up. And here's what happened. She was convinced. And then the next line, she saw. Say saw. She saw the tree was beautiful. Stop right there. This is one of the three areas that we've spent extensive time on of how God has warned us regarding the temptations and the lack of wisdom in our lives. When she saw, that is a biblical truth that we see throughout the scripture that we call the lust of the eyes. She saw it. She saw it was beautiful. The next statement, and she saw that the fruit looked delicious. She was hungry. The lust of the flesh was the second thing that is the technique used all the time. And then notice this line. And she wanted the wisdom that this would give her. That's the pride of life. We want to be smart. We want to know. So you see in that one verse, the three areas in our life where we need our discernment walls around us, and we need to say, God, give us wisdom. She saw it was beautiful. Oh, I like that. And then, boy, that's going to taste good, the flesh. And then she wanted the wisdom, the pride of life. Where the word says she wanted the wisdom, the New King James says it this way. It was desirable to make one wise. The NIV says it was also desirable for gaining wisdom. The Message Bible said she saw it and realized what she would get out of it, .. She would know everything. Wow, that's what she saw. So, she took some of the fruit and she ate it. She gave some to her husband. She didn't go chase him down because it says right there, who was with her? I'm right behind you, sweetie. and he ate it too. And sure enough, part of the word came true. And at that moment, just like when we were kids and we knew when we did something and we heard our name being called, oh boy, we were in trouble then. At that moment, their eyes were opened. And suddenly, they felt shame at their nakedness. Stop right there. Carnal wisdom brings shame. When you move in your carnal wisdom, expect shame to arrive there. They felt shame suddenly. Their eyes were open. So they sewed fig leaves together to, quote, cover themselves. By the way, when you're running from God, you will always be trying to cover yourself. Tell you something else. Man can't cover his sin. Why? Because God is going to look on sin, and man's temporary covering cannot cover sin in front of God's eyes. There's only one thing that was available that was going to be able to cover sin before the eyes of God, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ before the prophecy was even read and spoken. Man in his own way cannot cover sin. Away from God, you'll always be making up stories. Away from God, you'll always be trying to cover your tracks. You'll always be trying to cover. And by the way, it said they knew something. Okay, but can I just lovingly tell you, this was not something God wanted them to know. You got it? There are certain things you want your children shielded from. And everyone who's had a child, and yet they will see things. And it's not saying that that is not true and that doesn't really happen. But you don't want them to see that right now. They don't need that right now. That's why we should fight so hard about those who've taken the innocence away from little children. The people in high places that have trafficked little children, the people in the offices of our nation's government that have done that, the hundreds of people that have trafficked little children and little girls that have disappeared, and their political leaders, their media leaders, their sports leaders right now. How can one person be convicted for trafficking little children and be sentenced to 20 years in jail, but not one name is released? We're dealing with wisdom that is not from above. They knew something. Back to these four words. What was the four words that grabbed me when I was reading this? When she saw it, it was to make one wise. That is the quest. Isn't that always the quest? Don't you want to be smart? Don't you want to be smarter? You should be working every day to make yourself smarter, but not smart alecky or not wise guy. But he said that's always been the quest. And let me say this. The quest for wisdom without God is a guaranteed trip to disappointment and destruction. I'm going to say that again. The quest for wisdom without God will guarantee a trip of disappointment and destruction. But what a glorious contrast. You know, when we last left our boys, we're reading the word where Herod said he called them together. And he said, I want you to know. And now when you find him, you guys are so good. I'm so proud of you. When you find him, come on back so I can worship him too. So let's go back to the wise men. Let's pick up in verse 9 with the wise men story. When they had heard, by the way, back in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, it said, when they had heard, now by the way, not with their ears. Verse 9, when they heard this king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it stood over where the young child was. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, watch this. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I wrote this statement in my margin. Godly wisdom brought joy. Godly wisdom brought joy. Godly wisdom brought joy. In verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw. By the way, they saw this through the eyes of the God wisdom that had led them to that point. Sure, they saw something actually in the flesh, and that was wonderful, and that was a blessing to them personally, but they saw it, because when they saw it, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. That's not a hostile person. Those are ones who are looking. Those are people who are walking in wisdom. And they brought gifts. They opened their treasures. They presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Don't have time today, but each one of those gifts bring the connotation of the prophetic thing of what is going to be needed throughout his life. It's a wonderful, wonderful stories there that we can go a little bit deeper on. And that was great gifts there. By the way, have you heard, most theologians don't know it. Roy, you probably learned this maybe in seminary. They always talk about, there were four wise men. There were actually four wise men that were there. The fourth wise man, he was sent home because he brought a fruitcake. And he was sent home. Just thought I'd give you that. You've learned something from Scripture. There was a fourth one, but that was, they sent him home. We don't want that. Verse 12. Then the wisdom kicks in. You got it? I like this. Being divinely warned. Stop right there. They were wise enough to know the sound when the warning came. Got it? God sends warnings. God sends cues. He sends tips to you. He sends some things, and there are things inside of you that you need to pay attention to. Pay attention to the signs along the way. And a lot of people are just da-da-da-da, walking around. God, you're just going to leave me somewhere. And they hit these walls and blame God. God said, I've been sending you signals all along. Wake up. Being divinely warned. Being divinely warned. They were wise enough at this point to know the difference. They were warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Now, wait a minute. Herod, he was the king, man. He was good to them. He took good care of them. He spoke well of them. They honored him there. That would say you want to be honored there. They departed for their own country, but they went another way. Can you imagine their Google map is saying, recalibrating, turn around. No, I'm not going that way. Make a left turn up here, a U-turn. No, we're not, turn that voice off. We're not going that way. So when you read this and see how the wisdom of God was leading them, the message is clear. The message has never changed. Wise men still seek him. Which way are you going? God may want to change your path. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The psalmist said, your word is a light to my path. You know what that is? The light doesn't change. The wisdom to know the light, to know the voice, to know the word, that happens when you still seek him. When your heart is one leaning to worship, not in hostility toward God, you see the contrast right now. It is a message of a heart journey. It is a message of a mind journey that we have toward God. I call it the mind of Christmas. What is that? What's the mind of Christmas? The mind of Christmas is the mind that walks in God's wisdom. Amen. And you may not have every bit of it lit on the way, but it's that leaning, it's that watching for the signs, and when it happens, it's one of those things, you just know it. How were they prepared? Let me give you a little insight for you personally. How do I know this? Well, first off, are you grounded in the Word? Have you spent time in the Word? I don't mean Sunday morning drive-by. Have you read the Word? I don't mean the little devotional on your fridge. I don't mean something that pops up as a thought for the day. Have you read the Word? Have you studied? Have you looked at it for a while and chewed on it for a while? What are the implications? What does it mean for today? Don't go off and try to figure out all the horses yet. Don't go and figure out all the plagues yet. Don't go to start first with you. In the beginning was the Word. Let me tell you how they were prepared. Step number one. The wise men knew their history. Remember that? The wise men knew their history. Even the wise men wrapped around Herod knew their history because they quoted, when you read that scripture, that is actually lifted from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And here's exactly what it said in the prophecy, hundreds of years, Bethlehem, out of thee shall come the ruler of Israel. It takes wisdom to know it was right then. It takes God wisdom, not book wisdom, not learned wisdom, not tradition wisdom, but a heart thing, a heart and a mind transfer right there. Now, by the way, let's break down, just have a little fun right here with this. What's the first word there? Bethlehem. Do you know what Bethlehem means? Bethlehem means this, house of bread. Watch, this is so fun. What did Jesus say in John chapter 6? Verse 35, when he was validating who he was, Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. This wasn't just a visit. This wasn't just a visit to bring shower gifts for a new baby. No, the mind and wisdom of this Christmas child helped the wise men know a whole lot of things. Number one, it was the nourishment for their souls. The wise men knew a lot of things more than just taking a trip. Number one, they knew the signs. Got it? They knew where to go. They knew what to bring. It was the wisdom that made them even decide their gifts. They knew who to trust. They knew what path to take. I wrote those down on Friday afternoon. I'm going to give you the five things they knew in wisdom. Number one, they knew the signs. Say the signs. Number two, they knew where to go. Say where to go. Number three, they knew what to bring. Number four, who to trust. What path to take. How did they know? Because at this point, they were walking from God's point of view. Wise men still seek him. I can stand on pretty solid ground by saying to you today, I think the wise men were also students of the book of Proverbs too. Certainly they were schooled in the writings of Moses and the writings of David and the prophets and Solomon. I think they're because this concept, even when they weren't sure, they walked softly. And then when God spoke, they moved on it. Now I'm getting to you today in our time right now. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 says it this way. Get wisdom. Last week, start with God. Today, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Stop right there. The New Living Translation right there says, instead of get understanding, it says, develop good judgment. How many times have you beat that into your kids? Get good judgment. You just eat yourself off a cliff, wouldn't you? No. Get good judgment, it says there. And I find this amazing, but I'm reminded of it periodically. It's amazing through the book of Proverbs when the reference of wisdom comes up, it is referred to as a she. The pronouns of wisdom. So if you want to keep her, let me read it again. Get wisdom. Develop good judgment if you want to keep her. So don't forget her. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. I mean, God's got a sense of humor. Love her, and she will keep you. One translation, she will watch over you. So therefore, wisdom is the principal thing. In fact, the scriptures, one of the translations said, wisdom is the main thing. Wisdom is the main. What's the little saying they used to say? Make the main thing the main thing. That's how you live. And it's God wisdom right there. And therefore, he says, therefore, get wisdom. How do you do it? But in all of your getting, heard the old country song, I'm going to get while the getting's good? No, well, it says, when all you're getting, get understanding. The NIV says it there. In all of your getting, it says, though it will cost all you have. It will cost, I say that with a smile because it's tough, isn't it? It will cost all you have. And in all you're getting, it's going to cost you all you have. Get understanding. But where do you start? You look at the lives of the wise men. You compare it to the lives of Herod and his wise men. Who do you want to emulate? A little further down in the very same book, in chapter 9, it says, you see, it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. See, Eve and Adam lost that there, you see. And if they'd have kept their fear, not the terror of the Lord, but the honor, the reverence before the Lord, the love for the Lord. It says that is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One. From where? From Bethlehem. The bread of life. From Bethlehem. The Holy One from Bethlehem. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I call that was the second step of wisdom. So today I want to give you a Christmas gift. You too can have wisdom. You too can have this deeper touch. You too can have this deeper insight. You too can walk in this revelation from God, and you have to work it. You have to work it. You have to pump it. You have to work it. You have to do these things. James chapter 5 says it this way, and I'm sure James was acquainted with everything I've read to you today. If any of you lack wisdom, do you have to climb a mountain? Do you have to walk on broken glass on your knees? Do you have to walk in penance through the street and flog yourself while you're doing that? Do you have to have some false sense of humility? No. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. The New Living right there says, let him ask our generous God. God's generous. The old timers who used to sing, you can't beat God given no matter how hard you try. Doris Akers wrote that 70 years ago. Ask our generous God who will give you liberally without a reproach. Adam and Eve's wisdom that came to them was full of reproach. You see, the founding of it was not in God. And it will be given to you. Can I ask you a question? I see it when I see TV. I see it when I see certain generations today speaking. Are you guys at the point when you look at what you see right now and you say, I wasn't that stupid when I was that young. I couldn't have been that dumb. I couldn't have said those things. And probably not because we were afraid of God or we'd get our tails beat or we'd get punished. Remember that? And it, be careful where you get your wisdom from. Be careful. This is why we're seeing what we're seeing today. I hear so many times from people that even have pointed their children and raised them in the ways and the admonition of the Lord, and they come off with some of the craziest things you've ever thought of in your life. And what happens is that's the loudest sound. See, media has already discounted you. Media has already discounted me. The leadership has already discounted us. The faster they can kill us off, the better. That's the theology right now. But they've heard, thanks to the NEA, thank you for what the teachers have done. Thank you for what media has done. Thank you for those things there. They come off with some things because they want to be wise. They want to be accepted. They want to be cool. I'm not talking to be intentionally crazy, but I listen to things and I say that happens when you get your wisdom from the wrong thing. When I see institutions that I have conceptual revering for and history of revering, and I see some things, when I see professions right now that I have revered, and I look at those things and I see some of these people. We live in a time right now where your little boy couldn't go to school dressed as an Indian on Halloween. But you can go as a drag queen today. That's perverted. When you get your wisdom from the wrong source, you'll do some pretty dumb things. And not just dumb. It will lead to an ungodly thing. I ask you a question. Where are you getting your wisdom from? Liberally, without reproach, it will be given. So how do we do it? Maybe you've got some situations. You love God. You're checking all the box, but you're not quite sure of the situation. You're wondering, and you need wisdom. Here's how you do it. So let him ask in faith. 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 That's been there for a long time, long before Kenneth Copeland was born. It's been in the Bible there. Let him ask in faith without doubting. This is where I deal with right now. I have no trouble asking in faith, but I fight the doubting thing sometimes because I could help God if he would listen to me. I could help God. I could save him a lot of time. I could get things done if he would just listen to me right now. And it said, let him ask in faith without doubting. That phrase in the New Living New Testament says it this way. Be sure your faith is in God alone. Be sure your faith is in God alone. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is tossed and driven by the wind. The question as we land this plane today, what will be your final source for wisdom? My question is you today, can you pass the wisdom test today? Can you do it? Can you do it? James, a little further down, two chapters later, here's his test. Here's his test for you and me. This is my checklist I got to work on. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Don't raise your hand and say, it's me. No. Let him, and the scripture says, let him prove it. Let him show it. Let the fruit of his life, not what he says, but the fruit of his life, let him show it by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Not looking for the pat on the back, but as unto God, we have come to worship him. It's a bow down mentality. Here's your checklist. But if you have bitter envy, if you are self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, here's where we are today. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is demonic. Boy, that'll get me thrown off social media. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is demonic. This is where we are today. You say, well, that's just the way people are. But here's what the Bible says. There's a byproduct of every bit of our wisdom. But watch this. It says, where there is envy, and where self-seeking exists, you will see confusion. That's one thing, but this will grab you. Why do you see the world today? You'll see every evil thing is there. It's all there. Where did that start? Not seeking God. But the wisdom that is from above, this ought to be an assignment for you guys. You ought to read the first three chapters of James this week, maybe, and do some study there. It says, but this wisdom that is from above, you don't have to wave the flag. You don't have to click your tongue. You don't have to wear a cross around your neck that you have to drag. You don't have to do those. You walk in the fruit of your life. This wisdom that is from above is first pure. It is peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It is full of mercy. It is full of good fruit. In other words, what comes out of it, it's a good crop, without partiality, without hypocrisy. My question to you today as we get ready to walk out, what will you do with this word? How will you start? How will you start? You will start with Bethlehem, the house of bread. I am the bread of life. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask me, and I will give it to you. I said, how could I write an affirmation? I want to write an affirmation. What could I say? What could I say? I worked on it, and I went back and forth on it. I want you quietly to stand with me right now. And I want you, I'm going to read it first, and then you're going to read it again. And this is our quest for wisdom. You want to be wise? Wise men still seek him. Let me read it first for you. Put it up there for me if you would. Here's what I wrote. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. What do you think of that? Could we do it together, each phrase at a time? What are we looking for? Wisdom. We need wisdom more than ever before. You need, when your feet hit the ground and you walk out of this house, you need wisdom every day. You need wisdom just to, you know where you need wisdom? And you need wisdom to know that if that phone call is a real phone call, or is it some kid over in Taiwan with 18 other phones that's calling you and telling you something's happened to your credit card. You need to know. I got to tell you what, I made a friend. He is a prince over, he's a young prince, and he's Swahili, and he lives in on the other side of the world, but he's left me some money, and all I got to do is contact, and I'm praying for how many of you are praying for money from my friend right now? He's a prince, and then I met another from Afghanistan. He sent me a note. He's got something for me, and I'm believing for that, but you have to know, is it live or is it Memorex, as the commercial said. You have to know that email right there. You have won this. But you can't use your computer. You need some wisdom, simply as that right now, because there's evil out there. Forget solving the world's problem. You need to know what email is true, what email is a fraud, what's fishing for you. I believe you can even have that right now, those phone calls that come right now in Jesus' name right there. And you just begin to say, praise God, I'm glad you called. Here's the word of the Lord for you. And rub out that. I give it to him right there. I want you to do this with me right now. Take your right hand. Here's how we're going to seek wisdom. We start from here. We say this. This word is wise. Go ahead. This word is wise. Do it with me now. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Let's do it again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my what? First call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Do it one more time by yourself. Go. This
word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life.
So speaking of your foundation, Jesus told a story about a man who built a house. And I'll only read one verse in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 24. Therefore, now you need to know that at that therefore, something went before. A story went before. Preparation went before. A lesson went before. It is for you and me. And it's wise to know what went before. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Now, the wise men heard, they knew, they had read, but they acted. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. So I say to you, nothing has changed. It has not gone out of style. And yes, wise men still seek him.